Three, two, one. Hi, B Culture readers. I'm Jim Tew. I write for B Culture magazine. I've written for B Culture magazine for many, many years. I deeply enjoy doing it. I want to talk to you about 5-minute beekeeping for those short times when you need a quick bee fix, but you just don't have time to really suit up and fire the smoker and do everything. It's just in that hectic day when you're trying to get a little bit done and you want to get some contact with the bees. The genesis for this article occurred about, 25, 30 years ago. At the time, I was an energetic, busy beekeeper who was trying to get the most out of my typical day. At that time, I concocted a list of quick bee jobs that I could accomplish on the run. Well, my, how things change. Now, all these years later, I'm exploring this fast beekeeping concept, not to save time, but to save my limited energy. Every day of the year, I need a bee fix of some sort. So what follows is just a compilation of quick tasks that I can do without undue energy expenditure. Okay, so you keep bees, but most of the time you work them, it comes in short snatches. In my case, bunches of time are rare, while brief snatches of time are much more common. What can I do during those tidbits of time that allows me to continue enjoying beekeeping without getting bogged down in an all-afternoon job? Well, a few common sense tasks come to mind. Number one, tipping the colony. Lightly tip the colony from the backside. Is it deadweight heavy or is it light? I can't think of many times when a light colony would be a good thing, so I suspect most of the time we're hoping for a heavy colony. During the winter, a light colony can be used to predict winter success or winter failure. Winter feeding is not easy to do and will probably require you to put on supers already filled with capped honey. Or alternatively, I guess you could hope for a mild winter and just wish for the best. During the spring-summer, the weight of a colony indicates how well the spring flow is going, or indeed has already gone. Not much you can do about this, but record keep, so you'll have comparison information for the next year. You got a beehive relocation coming up this summer? In preparation, tip the colony to see if supers should be taken off, or if they can go along for the ride in the back of the truck, or just to determine what lays ahead for your beehive move and your aching back. In general, tipping the colony is much like kicking the tires on a car. It gives you a scrap of information, it makes you look authoritative, and it's the task that just takes a few minutes. Check that talk super. How full is it? As an aside, years ago when speaking to a beekeeping group in the AI Root conference room, I made a passing comment about tipping colonies for weight estimations. You know the kind. An ancient beekeeper immediately took umbrage at my recommendation by saying that the fulcrum of the hive was not standard and my tipping would always be biased one way or the other. He also said that tipping was a factor of personal strength. Well, I didn't know how to respond. He turned to a neighboring beekeeper and asked him and ask him if he used a procedure. The beekeeper sheepishly said that, in fact, he did use the tipping procedure, and then they went fisticuffs, and I was completely out of the loop. All these years later, it's been decades and decades and decades, I always appreciated the unnamed beekeeper who took up the defense of this simple procedure and kept me out of this fracas. How about those electronic hive scales? I particularly like mine. This is the ultimate easy. I can check my colony's weight gain without even getting out of my reclined chair. The electronic inspection can be done in just a few minutes, and of course, getting the device on the colony and setting up your phone app will take more than 5 minutes. But I must say that the payback could be potentially huge for you. Pop in the top. Let's just say you're coming in from your real job. You want to go back to the hives and just pop the lid. Depending on the season, you may or may not choose to put on a veil. You've been keeping bees for a while. I suspect you'll forego lighting the smoker. And listeners, this is an omission for which you will occasionally be remarkably sorry. I was explaining this quick procedure to a beginning beekeeping group many years ago, and I took the outer cover off, and I cracked the inner cover ever so slightly just to get my information tidbit. In front of 10 new beekeepers, a hostile worker drilled me right between my eyes, which was way more information than I wanted. So checking this top super can give you a minute's worth of information, or it can give you a few moments of extreme concentration on other, more pressing matters. During the early part of the spring, you should tend to over-super, provide more room than they need. During the waning part of spring, or even early summer, tend to under-super so the bees will complete the honey processing procedure and the supers you've already given them. But under-supering doesn't mean running out of space, though. Don't forget that. You can always just snatch up the grass or trim the grass with some hedge trimmers in front of the colony. So until I have time to get the mowing equipment out, I frequently perform a quick mini cut in front of the hive. Honestly, I don't cut so much as I just grab a handful of grass and jerk it out of the ground. It grows right back, but for the moment, the hive front is open. If the statement goes without saying, then there's probably no reason to say it. But it certainly goes without saying that you should not grab bees in the grass that you're jerking up. In reality, the grass in front of the hive is of little consequence so long as it's not just huge. If it's just run-of-the-mill grass, it's okay. It's easy to pull up, and it gives you a quick beehive job that's readily accomplished. However, letting the hive become buried in brambles and tall weeds, making them increasingly difficult to access, now that's another story. I always sit by the entrance for a minute or five or an hour, and I just observe what the bees are doing. You can do this anytime the bees are flying. I suspect there's few of us who can just sit by a busy beehive entrance for 4 or 5 minutes, in the winter maybe. But when the bees are actively flying and foraging and bringing back pollen, it just mesmerizes us. I watch for pollen loads, when they start, what they're collecting from, the quantity, when the bees change pollen collecting behavior. I watch bee behavior such as robbing, or nectar-laden bees returning from a foraging flight. I try to note if there's any deformed bees indicating a mite problem, any wasp or animal problems at the hive entrance. Look for hive droppings from these animals and grass matted down at the hive entrance. It's probably skunks, maybe raccoons. And now you need to deal with getting that by your colony off the ground for a couple of feet. Just raise them up a few feet. That'll probably help. How about drones? When did you first see drones? I always say I'm going to mark it on my calendar, but in reality, I rarely ever do. Once drones are present, you can feel comfortable about raising queens or feel safe thinking that the colony could requeen itself under desperate conditions. Always be looking for swarms in your general area. You probably won't see all the swarms at issue from your colonies, but you will occasionally see one or two hanging about the area during swarming season. It only takes a minute or two or three to look for swarms, but what if you find one? Well, that's a different story. It's going to take you considerably longer to hive it. But the looking for the swarm part should be fairly easy and only takes a minute or so. And that minute or so can save you hours later. You know, after you keep bees in your yard for a few years, you'll begin to know the places that the swarms like to land. A good brief task is to check out those spots and give a perfunctory look around the yard. Seeing no swarms, you can kind of feel good about things for the moment and then be gone. How about cracking two deeps to look for swarm cells? Well, this is on my list, but this is kind of tedious. You are correct when you think that this is going to be a very busy 5 minutes for you. You will be busy. If there is a good nectar flow ongoing, and if it's a gentle colony, and if it's a perfect day, you might get away with breaking the deeps apart to check for swarm cells on the bottom bars. But I suspect that you should light a smoker. But hey, lighting a smoker is just another 5 minute job too. If you've got 5 minutes, you probably got one more minute. So take that extra minute to fire up the smoker and then crack that hive apart. Swarm cells commonly hang from the bottom bars of the frames, but not all of them. And you can destroy them most of the time, but a colony can swarm with very few swarm cells present. Indeed, sometimes they will swarm with no swarm cells present. The primary information that you get from this quick observation is that the colony is making plans to swarm. What measures you take from that point? Yep, that's going to take longer than 5 minutes, but at least you kind of had a look and you had an idea. Look for varroa mites. Honestly, beekeepers, I'm looking for varroa mites all the time. You know, in the early days of varroa infestation, we dreamed that we could annihilate them, but they have been remarkably persistent. As beekeepers, we've done a pretty good job of learning to live with varroa in our lives, but we need to consistently and constantly keep a working estimate of our varroa population. I didn't say this in the article, but I'm saying it to you. It's really strange that we actually keep and manage varroa about as much as we keep and manage bees. But back at the article, many of you are trying to wean yourselves from hard chemical use by using other lesser forms of varroa control. And that's good, but it means that you take more responsibility for the hive's welfare. If you've got sticky boards in place, an easy 5 minute task is to have a look at the mite population. You will need to decide if you're going to have to change the board frequently or just try to estimate the drop from the last time you viewed the board. Honestly, this is just an estimate, but it keeps you somewhat informed. You probably don't need them in for more than two or three, four days anyway. In and out, just to find out. Screen bottom boards are a way of life for many of you. They are partially a way of life for me. Many of us have incorporated these devices into our beehives. Maybe you could put something under the screen bottom. Maybe there's a sticky board and get a quick idea of the population level of mites. If you're not using something sticky, mites blow away when you move it if you're not careful. Again and again and again, this is just a quick estimate. But doing this for enough minutes and you'll have a good idea of just how well your mite population is doing too. How about nectar and pollen sources? You've already been watching the hive source, watching for pollen and nectar collecting activities. Now take a walk to some of those actual plants. They may be in bloom, but are the bees actually working their blooms? Too dry? Too cold? Maybe too wet? Are there abundant bees on the floral source, or maybe just a few? Frequently, none. Take the 5-minute nectar pollen stroll to determine how your plants are doing. Every year I complain about honey locust. It just finished blooming here a few months ago. It looks like the perfect plant for providing copious nectar flows, but every year this plant seems to have yet another excuse for not producing enough to provide a honey crop for my bees and me. How about an external hive feeder on the hive? This is an easy, brief job, providing that you've got replacement water or syrup ready. Either fill the feeder, or I'd suggest taking it off. Leaving it on while empty will cause the bees to fill the small feeder holes with propolis. Bees will take water or syrup during warm months, but tend to ignore it during good nectar-producing times of the year. The classic entrance feeder is a simple device to observe and fill, but this device is not always great to feed bees. It's easy, but it's just not great. Too often, the device, when leaking, encourages robbing at the hive entrance. I've still got these things in my operation. I've had them for years. And I guess occasionally I would use them, but more often than not, I'd rather use almost anything else. How about reading a bee magazine article? You can do that while you're sitting down. It's one of my favorite short jobs. I can stay abreast of bee comings and goings, and most of the time the article can be read in just a few minutes. It's good to know what others of your ilk are thinking and doing to keep beekeeping rewarding and productive. Plus, you get to sit and not have to have a smoky odor on your clothes when the task is over. Personally, I've really enjoyed reading old bee magazines and indeed old books. For example, I've read the July 1948 issue of this magazine several times just to see what beekeepers were doing when I made my birth debut all those years ago. I can tell you that except for mites and more plastic hive equipment, beekeepers were doing pretty much the same thing then as today. But that's one of the reasons for keeping bees, the continuity and the craftsmanship. Alternatively, the modern beekeeper can surf the web for minutes, hours, or days. There is always plenty there for whatever time you've got. Over time, I have acquired my bookmarked sites so I can make a quick review and then be gone. Then there's observation hives. They're quick and easy to look at. They're just perfect for that quick fix. During the warm months, I usually have a large one I've got set up. It's 9 deep frames, 3 on 3 on 3. I can spend minutes or hours looking at bee behavior. I got to say, they're a challenge to set up, but once the thing is finally functional, it's a quick and easy way to get a dose of beekeeping without suiting up and lighting a smoker. I got to stop here. You know, these are all common sense things. When we do these quick checks, really, all we're doing is estimating the bigger job that may need to be done sometime soon. while they are quick procedures, they're not without merit. They really are helpful. Plus, I enjoy the update from my colonies. I'm done. Could I tell you that I appreciate and thank you so much for listening to this piece and for reading the articles in print? I value your energy because I value my energy. But I do appreciate your time. I'm Jim Tew, and until next month, I'm telling you bye.